Influencers, men's ministry.
Lord, shine your light on me. Lord, shine your light on me. You're the Heavenly Father. You're the King of Kings. So Lord, shine your light on me.
See, this passage describes God's agape, unconditional love. This kind of love can survive anything. It's a love that can heal all the hurts and woundings of life, so that when the other loves of life fail, and they will, this love endures faithfully to the end. But I fished these out of a drawer to see if they would work, and it's good to see all you guys here this morning. Oh, there you are. Look extinguished, I do. Yeah. I feel the love. You know, last week, guys, if you missed last week, you were out of God's will. I don't care where you were. You were out of God's will. We heard probably the best message I've heard, a message that Christians everywhere need to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Some guys have asked me how they could get that message. If you wanted to watch it or show it to someone else, we showed it to our whole Wednesday group in Fullerton a couple of days ago. And because we didn't want them to miss that message. It's a message of love. And it's a message of loving. And Steve Ridgway, who gave the message, has worked in the Middle East for years with Open Doors and other things. He's friends with top leaders in Hamas and the Palestinians there in Jerusalem and with the Jewish leaders. And he just goes in the spirit of Christ, and God gives him divine appointments that are amazing. And he talked to us about love. I selfishly invited him because Steve and I have been friends for several years now, and we get together every. He lives in Washington, Tacoma area, and every time he comes down, we try to get together. And he was telling me some stories of a recent trip, and I said, "You got to tell our guys this. Our guys need to hear this. We need to hear it because we struggle with doing the most important thing, the number one thing, surpassing all other things that you can have and need to have going for you in the Christian life, and that's love. We need to make sure we understand what kind of love we're talking about. There's all kinds of love. There's love that you can do on your own. You don't need God. You don't need the Holy Spirit. All you need is your flesh. That would be like eros, romance, sex. I mean, we got that down. We understand that. Then there's phileo, that's friends, friendship love. Most guys don't have a best friend. They don't even have a small group of friends that are close. But most of the guys in this room, I would guess, do. Because of your involvement with influencers, your church, other men's ministries, it puts you in small groups, connects you with guys. But it's hard. It's hard to do. Phileo is not easy, but it's possible even without the Holy Spirit. Then you have storge, which is family love. And that's a love which is a natural love that we all have for our families, for our dads, for our moms, brothers and sisters, extended families, aunts and uncles, cousins. And that's a pretty natural love. But as we know, the family is totally disintegrating right before our very eyes and right in our own homes. Many in this room today are struggling with your family, with your children, with your marriage, with your parents. And the enemy, and he does this in every culture, in every civilization that's ever been studied by archaeologists, digging up all this stuff on what's plagued people throughout the centuries, throughout the ages, the same old stuff. It's not like something that's brand new and we're the only generation or we're the only country or civilization that's seen the whole civilization unravel because of family or the home unraveled. But you can still have that storge family love without God. None of those loves are as good as they should be or could be without the Holy Spirit. But then there's a love that's very different. I'm going to bring you back to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to look at that today quickly. We need a good dose. I want to keep the spirit of what Steve challenged us with and taught us with last week, and I want to keep it going today. Someone asked me, Terry asked me before we posted this on our website, and he said, what's the title of the message? And he was talking about Steve's message, and I said, love wins. It wins. And this is the love we're talking about. It's agape love. It's unconditional love. It's the love that only God the Holy Spirit can do. And there's not a fiber in you, and Steve made this comment last week, there's nothing in him, nothing in you that can love like this. You don't have it. You have a sinful nature. You have the flesh. And this is supernatural. It's of the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way you get this kind of love. You get it from the Holy Spirit pouring it into you. But you have to be a vessel that can receive it before you can have it poured into you. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels but don't love others, I'm only making noise like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge and knew what was going to happen in the future and knew everything about everything but didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and it would move, but do not love others, I'm nothing. If I gave everything I have to poor people, if I was burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatsoever. Love is very patient. Love is kind and never jealous or envious. It's never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not easily angered, nor is it irritable or touchy. It keeps no record of sins and hardly even notices when others do it wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You'll always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. This love never fails. It will go on forever. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end. Prophecies and speaking in unknown languages are going to disappear and there'll be no more. Now we know in part, we just know a little. Even with all of our special gifts and teaching of those most gifted, it's still poor. But when we have been made perfect and complete, then the need for those inadequate special gifts will come to an end and they'll disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, I talked and thought and reasoned like a child. I've got this in red in this Bible here. But when I became a man, my talk and thoughts and reason grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away the childish things. In the same way, we can see and understand just a little right now about God, as if we were peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. But someday we're going to see him in his completeness face to face. Now all I see is hazy and blurred. But then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. And now, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But make no mistake about it, the greatest of these is love. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you this week. Here's your assignment. I want you to read this at least once a day. It's a short chapter, 13 verses, 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to read it. I just read it to you from the Living Bible. There's the Living New Testament. And there's all kinds of other translations, whatever you like. Read this every day, this week. And why would I assign that to you? Well, because you need it. You forget it. I just read it to you and you're amening, maybe. But tomorrow you'll forget. Oh, tomorrow, after lunch, you'll have forgotten it. Maybe you won't get that far. And someone says, what was that message? I don't know. It was good. What was it about? I don't know, but it was good. See, this passage describes God's agape, unconditional love. The kind of love, this kind of love can survive anything. It's a love that can heal all the hurts and woundings of life. So that when the other loves of life fail, and they will, this love endures faithfully to the end. You got a marriage problem? You having a hard time loving your wife or your children, or vice versa? They're having a hard time loving you, maybe. And you can't figure that out, but that's the case. Try love. Try agape. But let's unpack this just a little bit. Because if you're going to try it, you need to understand it. But you won't understand this passage unless you understand the context of the passage. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul was dealing with spiritual gifts. He was dealing with a church in Corinth that were not loving people. They were doing lots of stuff. They had lots of Bible studies, lots of activities. They had everything going but love. They put a high value on spiritual giftedness and all the spiritual gifts. Over in chapter 14, Paul is dealing with the same thing. He's dealing with their arrogance. He's dealing with division in the church. The abuse of the gifts. And so right in the middle of chapter 12 and chapter 14, he throws in these 13 verses. You got to couch it all in these 13 verses. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but I don't love others, I'm only making noise and just like a resounding gong or cymbal. You know how irritating it is? A resounding gong, 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 gong. I mean, all it takes for us is a dripping faucet at night. And that gets to be not too bad to begin with, but about 15 minutes into it and further, it gets to be very irritating. A clanging cymbal. When there's no other instruments playing, it's just this clanging cymbal. Well, he's saying there, you could speak in tongues. Maybe you have the gift of tongues, and the gift of tongues has been a very divisive thing in the body of Christ, and it's nothing new in our generation. It was 2,000 years ago. They were having that same problem in Corinth. They put more value on gifts than they did on loving people. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge and knew what was going to happen in the future and knew everything about everything but didn't love others, what good would it do? What do you value? What is it that you think is really important? What is it that you want to go to war for, that you'll defend, that you'll fight for, that you'll argue over, that you'll make your voice be heard? What are you zealous about? And I think the real question here is, make sure that if you're going to go to war, that you're choosing your battles carefully and you're fighting over a hill that needs to be taken, not a hill that doesn't matter if it's taken. Compared to being loving. They had their doctrine, and they didn't have a problem with doctrine in Corinth. They just had a problem with loving. I mean, they could argue their faith and argue their doctrines and argue their point of view and argue about gifts all day long. And that's what they did. They debated. They argued. They even were suing each other. They were acting in manners that were inappropriate for Christians. Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and it would move, but don't love others, I'm nothing. Is that what we're valuing, the gift of faith? Well, if you had enough faith, if you were just a person of faith, if you would just trust God, this wouldn't be happening. That's bad theology. I mean, go to the cross and try to make that work. If Jesus had just trusted God, if there wasn't some sin in his life that God wouldn't have done this to him. Suffering is a part of life and something that God allows. It's not necessarily something He wills every time, but it's something He allows. And then, as He allows it, He works everything together for good. All suffering, every trial, every difficulty. Or He wouldn't have had James says, count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, if God didn't use suffering. And God didn't give us faith to believe that He is sovereign and He knows what He's doing. Jerry Leachman had a heart attack Tuesday. We're very fortunate to have Jerry alive right now. The response team got to his house in about 5 or 6 minutes. They did heroic efforts on him. Got him to the hospital, put in some stents and a balloon, and he's been under sedation since then. But all his numbers are good. You can imagine how many people are praying. I was going to get on an airplane, Rocky was. We were going to go back there. Holly told us not to come because too many people are trying to come. She's getting hundreds of texts, emails, voicemails. Even her own children weren't there at the time. He was in ICU. Nobody got in. Nobody could see him. And she didn't need us hanging around to have to worry about. So whether we'll go back or not, I don't know. But we're just grateful. My last text that I got while I was in the prayer time this morning was they're going to take him off the ventilator this afternoon. So we're praying that he'll be breathing strongly, and there's every reason to believe he will. His numbers are good. His fever's down. His blood pressure's good. They're weaning him off the drugs that they had him sedated. So I think hopefully he'll be with us in October at our men's retreat. But I'm not counting on it. If I gave everything to poor people, if I was burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatsoever. You know, you could even be martyred. Martyred for your faith. But in God's eyes, if you don't love others, if you don't love the guy that's cutting your head off, if you don't love that person who's persecuting you, if you don't love that person who just fired you with no good reason, but just because you don't agree with him or you don't have a politically correct stance. And if you can't love that person, he's saying you're falling way short of the mark here. Now, this is a high standard. And this is a reason that Jesus Christ said, look, don't even start building this tower in Luke 14 where Paul said, look, you used to sit down to start building a tower where Jesus said, well, look, if you start building that tower and you don't get this down, you're going to stop. You'll stop right in the middle. Have you ever been to Eastern Europe or some parts of third world countries and you'll see houses about halfway built and they're just sitting there now and have been for years because they didn't have enough to be able to finish the house. God doesn't want a bunch of half-built houses in His kingdom. If you're going to start to build, have the resources you need to build that tower. See, the thing that reflects Jesus Christ more than any other thing is not our wonderful facilities or buildings. It's not all of our activities, all of our programs, all of our teaching and worship in small groups and all the things that we do in church. People don't care about that. All they want to know is when they walk through that door, do you love me? Does it matter that I'm here? Does anybody want to know my name? You know, it's hard to go into a church. I don't know when the last time you started walking in looking for a church. But I hear people all the time, they're going into churches, and in churches, they hardly even get greeted. No one asks their name. They go in and sit, and then leave. And they still hadn't met anybody. I had a guy in coming into our group here about 10 years ago. And he had been coming for a while, but when he came, nobody ever greeted him. Nobody welcomed him. Nobody asked his name or give him theirs. He had been coming enough times that he finally said, I'm going to go today, and if someone doesn't speak to me today, this is my last trip in here. Now, I don't think we're unusual there. I think there are people walking into churches and Christian groups all over the place, and that's the case. But one of our guys just happened that day, just happened to sit down by him and engage him in conversation and meet him. The guy came back and became one of our leaders. All people are looking for is somebody to love them. You'd rather be right or you'd rather be loving. You want relationships with people? Or you do you have the resources? Do you have agape? Do you have... When Jesus says, look, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, give up your right to yourself. Well, what does that mean, my right to myself? Your right to get mad and upset when you're not treated right. Your right to get upset when you're neglected or you're not appreciated. When someone calls your good evil and your evil good. Now the good evil. When someone slaps you on one cheek. When someone forces you to go 1 mile when you didn't have to go 1 mile, you shouldn't have had to go 1 mile, but you had to, and you were forced to. When you're slandered and maligned, when you're lied about, you love that person? You got the resources? Have you died to yourself and you're right to yourself so that you're not so touchy? I mean, we've taken touchiness and sensitiveness to a doctrinal. Is there something higher than doctorate? Because if there is, that's where we've taken this. We have a whole culture that's so sensitive about how you, about getting their feelings hurt and about being offended and about being put down or not respected or hated according to their definition of hate crimes. We're so litigious. In Corinth, they were even suing each other in the church. Paul had to straighten them out on that. You don't sue a brother. You got the body of Christ. You get some litigation in the church there. You get some mediation in the church. You settle it right there among yourselves. You don't put it out in public in front of all the people saying this is what Christians do. It was inappropriate for Christians to do that. They were living in many ways. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, Paul said. Live your life in such a way that you don't look back with regret, that people aren't asking you, well, what are you doing here? Aren't you a believer? That's another story of mine. Love is patient and kind. It's never jealous or envious. It's never boastful or proud. I got to take a deep breath right there. Let me read that again. Very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud. That's what agape is, never. I mean, in the flesh, it's always, but in the spirit, it's never. You know, we come to these passages, and we need to read these passages, because if we're not on our knees at the end of reading 1 Corinthians 13, something's wrong. If we're not on our knees with a broken heart, with a repentant heart, just asking God to forgive us, there's something wrong. There are places we haven't gotten to yet in our Christian spirit, in life, in process, and journey. And this would be the place. If you're going to focus on anything, if you're going to focus on growing this. We used to have a guy who was an icon for years with us, Forrest Ray. Retired firefighter. Forrest would come into our prayer time, and he was the most meek and humble guy you ever saw. He would just weep in prayer. One guy said, one ex-Marine who came to prayer, said, I was about to leave. Is this what's going on in this prayer group? Guys are weeping. He was in the old man code. He's since moved to the new man code, where weeping is okay. Or either we got to take those passages where Jesus wept out of the Bible. And Forrest would come in there, and he was so unusual. He had such an unusual spirit and heart and attitude, and when he prayed. So one day I said, let's get breakfast. And I said, I wanted to get to know him. And so I said, what's your deal? I said, what is going on with you? I mean, you're pretty unusual. Most Christian guys don't have what you have. He said, well, I don't know. He says, one day I just asked God to fill me with his love, and he did. I went, that's it? God, fill me with your love, that agape love, the love that I don't have, the love that I can't have, the love that makes me love those. And this is remarkable. When you love those who don't love you, when you love those that are unlovely, when you love those that have slapped you, persecuted you, maligned you, I'm about to cut your head off. I mean, that's a testimony that Steve was reminding us of those 17 young men standing by the Mediterranean Sea getting their heads cut off. But martyrs have done that for centuries. They had something. They no longer saw men according to the flesh. They knew that these men that were going to kill them, these men that were going to persecute them, these men that were going to malign them and lie about them, they didn't see those men as the enemy. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. You got to fight against flesh and blood now, you're going to lose. Even if you win, you lose. The only way that you're going to win spiritually, the only way you're going to win as a man of God is when you love that person agape style. Jesus style. Holy Spirit style. What he's saying here is, I'm trying to make men that are hard to be offended. Hardly even notice when others do it wrong. I mean, you're not sensitive and touchy and irritable. You don't have to be respected. We just talk about all the time, love and respect in marriage. And that's true. Men want to be respected. Women want to be loved. Okay, we get it. Do you have to be respected? What if she doesn't respect you? What if she doesn't submit to you? What if she doesn't think about you anymore? Or do things to please you because she's kind of gotten worn out on that. It hadn't worked for her. You still going to love her? You raise your voice to her? Do you argue with her? Do you put her down? Do you criticize her in your heart, even if not out loud and usually out loud? I mean, guys, we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders in our home. What is spiritual leadership? Spiritual leadership is being led by the Spirit. And what's the Spirit lead us to do? He leads us to turn the other cheek and bless those who persecute us. That's what he leads you to do. That becomes natural and normal for the Christian life. We call it remarkable. It's normal. It's what we're supposed to be. It's the kind of men we're supposed to be. Are you cutting yourself a pass? Are you saying, well, Pete, you just don't understand. If you really understood what's happened and how they've treated me and the circumstance I'm in with them, then you wouldn't be scolding me. I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you, this is a Christian life, guys. Let's live it. It's not 2x4 therapy. It's just natural, normal, everyday Christian living that we call remarkable because there's so few that live it. There's so many of us that are just worldly and carnal and holding on to the old man code, holding on to the flesh. There we go. God said turn and point at that. See, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When Christ lives in me, I'm going to love you no matter what. I don't have a standard. You don't have to treat me right. You don't have to say it right. My choice is just to love you. You're not my enemy. I have an enemy, and you do too. You may be in bondage to the enemy, or maybe I'm in bondage to the enemy, because that's what he does. He takes us captive to do his will rather than God's will, and we open doors. We have to open the door to him. He can't just come in. You open doors of bitterness, anger, jealousy, envy, pride, arrogance, being touchy, being sensitive. Would you be willing to get over that, how people treat you? Do they have to treat you a certain way? Do you have to be respected because you have a title that deserves respect? Or has God shown you that leadership is done by washing feet? That's what spiritual leadership is. It's serving others. Thinking of others is more important than yourself. It's getting over yourself, being done with yourself. And all selfishness and all sensitivity to these things. Get over it. We don't have time for this. It's a luxury. And we don't have time for it. We're living in days right now where we need men of God who man up. We need men of God who can turn the other cheek and not feel bad about it. They can bless those who persecute them and know that they're in God's will and they're doing something they couldn't possibly do on their own. Love that guy. Appreciate it. He fired you. Go thank him for giving you a job in the first place. He's not expecting that. That would be kind of surprising to him. He came into the meeting with his lawyer. And he didn't need a lawyer. You were just going to say, look, I just want you to know, whatever reason you let me go, and you know, that's your business. Just thanks for giving me a job. Thanks for giving me a place where I could come and work and provide for my family. I really appreciate it. Now, y'all have a good day. I wish you all the success in the world in your business. Y'all have a good day. Well, what do you think he's thinking? What am I paying you, this lawyer sitting there? If all my guys are like him, I sure wouldn't need you. Wrongful termination. I mean, everything's wrongful. Get over it. And all I got to say is in 1 Corinthians 13, 34 and 35, it's a command. It's a command. And this command I give to you, love one another, even as I have loved you. But Christ died for us while we were yet what? We were still sinners when He died for us. Are you putting standards up for people that you're going to love them if? You're going to love them when? See, that's all friendship love. That's all fleshly love. But when you do this, you know, it's that obedience thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what God thinks. Level two. I'll do what God wants me to do when He does what I want Him to do. Level three. Well, I'll do what God wants me to do, and then I'll trust He'll do what I want Him to do. And level four. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I don't care if He never does what I want Him to do. Everything else is manipulating God and others. Emotionally blackmailing. That's not agape love. And that's not going to change anybody's life. And it's going to harden your heart. And you're going to be an embarrassment to the body of Christ. And you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Every time you do it. Every time I do it. Are we getting this? Love wins, guys. You want to win or lose? You want to be a big loser in the body of Christ? See, that's what we do. From now on, we're tugging ears, we're hugging, and we're doing this. Okay? And this guy comes out with a bad attitude or an unwholesome word, and we go. You don't have to say a word. Just, he'll get what you're talking about. That is a loser's talk. He comes out negative and something that's fearful and it's not faith, or he's criticizing or using sarcasm. Loser. Loser for Christ. Is that our new t-shirt? Guys, if we don't get this, we haven't missed anything but the boat. Even as I have loved you, by this all men will know that you're my disciple if you love one another. That's what we mean when we say, get out there and give them heaven. Get out there and love on them. I don't care who they are, what they've done. Would you repent right now your attitude towards your boss? Would you repent to the attitude towards your wife? Would you repent to your attitude towards your dad? Would you repent of any attitude that's caused hurt, wounding, being sensitive? But Pete, I don't want to hear it. God doesn't want to hear it. I can't help you with that. God's going to have to help you with that. But are you willing to repent this morning of unloving attitudes? Are you willing to repent that you haven't grown to the place where you know you could be or should be in agape love because you haven't denied yourself? You've held on to your pride. You've held on to the need to be respected and treated in a certain way. Would you just drop your guard and let God protect you? Would you do it this morning? Would you come? He's calling us up higher. He's calling us to a place where only He dwells. We have the privilege of entering into His Holy of Holies. We have the privilege of being filled with His power and His love to change other people's lives, not to mention ours. But if you ain't got it, you can't give it away. So this morning, let's close. Let's close with about 20 seconds. That's all it'll take. I'll give you 15. Of repenting. Anything you need to repent of what you've heard this morning. Because you want to hit that door a different guy than you came in. You want to go out there and you truly want to be free. You don't want to have to hold grudges anymore. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to be hurt. You can be free from that. Why would you want to carry it around when you can be free? Lay it on Him. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He desires this of you. The fellowship with Him is sweet when we do this, and that's what He wants with you and me. He wants sweet fellowship. Nothing in between me and you and us and Him. And so let's bow our heads. We're going to take 15 seconds to deal with anything you need to deal with in this regard. And now, Father, we're your men. We're your men who want to live lives that glorify and honor you. We're your men who you've commanded to love one another. And so, Lord, I just pray if there's any relationships, even in this room, that need to be mended, that where we need to love each other, that you would just mend those relationships. But you would give us your spirit of humility and brokenness and repentance, even right now as we pray. Father, the worship has been wonderful and powerful. The word has gone forth, and you said it would go forth and accomplish that for which you sent it in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we're living in days where we don't have time to get over it. A year of counseling. 15 seconds of true repentance and brokenness before you will heal our hearts. Like Forrest Ray said, and if we pray with Forrest, Father, fill us with your love. Lord, I believe you'll do it. And so, Lord, I ask you to just fill us with your love. We want a room full. We want twice as many guys that are loving each other. And if we love each other and care for each other the way that you cared for us, even as you have loved us, that's what everybody's looking for. You couldn't keep them out of here. Or their church, or our churches, Lord. Our homes. If we'll just love them. Help us get there, Father, in Jesus Christ. Help us get there because he died on the cross that we might be able to have the power to do this. He came out of the grave to live for us today for this very reason, that we might love one another even as he has loved us. By this, all men will know that we're your disciples when we start loving each other. And so, Lord, we choose to do that in Jesus' name. And all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven out there, guys.
A Ministry to Men is an online ministry of Influencers West. If you want to hear an audio version of this or any of our past sermons, you can find our weekly podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Simply search A Ministry to Men. To keep up with our latest M2M events, news, or updates, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or go to our website, aministrytomen.org. Remember, that's A, ministry, number 2, men.org. Like this message? We now have a whole slew of 2 to 4 minute video shorts over on our YouTube channel that you can share and pass around with friends. Link is in the description. Thank you for watching, and to make sure you're notified when a new M2M video is up, why not hit that follow button? God bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.